We're up to Perek Chavav, page 170. The previous Perek, as we saw numerous weeks, 5 weeks exact, Perek Chav Hey was the discussion of a person by the name of Naval, who ended up dying. Subsequently, Abigail, who was a very righteous woman, ends up marrying David. Okay. We're up to Perek Chavav. What? Yeah, we. In fact, you can see still on page 170 that on the bottom it's underlined, which we talked about, according to the opinion of the Me'am Loes, even though it's not clear in the Psukim, they must have waited for that amount of time. And actually, we mentioned that if you would look at the Pasuk Mem, the last three words in Pasuk Mem, which is the second line on the top, which is the previous parak, says Lokachtech Lol Isha, which it has three words in a row which have the word, the letter Lamed. Lamed, which is the numerical value of 30, so that could be hinting that they waited 30, 30, and 30, or 3 months. Okay. Perek Chavav. Vishal Nosan. That's the previous pasuk, even though it's a little bit confusing. Let's with the pasuk begins. Perek begins with Vayabo. Vayabo hazivim el shaol hagivasa lemor. So the zifim. So let's see where we are on page 170. The zifim came and they went to shaol, saying, "Hello, David, mistater begivas hacha." That David is hiding in this particular place, this valley, this hill called Chila, Alpnei HaYishimon, which faces Yishimon. And it's a pretty terrible thing to do, to basically rat out where David would be. It's even worse to do it a second time. Because this group of people, the Zifim, were found before, that David was hiding, as he's always been hiding, from Shaul. And here, once again, they give Shaul the precise location where David is. And of course, Shaul wants to kill him. So this is a very nice news. The question is, why all of a sudden do these Zifim come about? Why are they coming right now? Some explain that they thought that there was a difference between the first time they reported where David's whereabouts were and were unsuccessful in having him killed, and now. And the difference is Shmuel. Shmuel died in last parak. And a lot of people felt that the reason why David was spared and saved and protected was because of the greatness of the Navi, the prophet. But now that Shmuel is no longer in the picture, maybe Shaul will have a better chance of being able to capture and destroy David. So, nonetheless, they're given he's given the exact information exactly where David is found. Pasuk Bet. Vayakum Shaul. So, as Shaul always does, with excitement, he gets up. Vayered el Midbar Zif, and he goes to Midbar Zif, and you can see that there's a little map on the second page exactly where this location is. V'ito shloshes alafim ish b'churei Yisrael. He decided 10 people, how many people is going to take to kill one guy, David? Alright, there's a bunch of other people protecting David. 3,000 people b'churei Yisrael, who were the chosen ones among Yisrael, which sounds like they're the great ones. We're going to say that's not really the case. But nonetheless, he picked 3,000 people to assist him, the king, to kill David. Vavakish is David, but Midbar Tzin Zif, to chase after David in this precise location, the wilderness of Zif. 3,000. Now, what type of people were these 3,000? So the Radak over here tells us on the bottom of page 170, Bechurei Yisrael, which usually sounds like the chosen ones, the best ones, the Radak says quite the opposite. It says Min HaKalim, the lightweights, the nobodies. Those are the 3,000 that he picked. Why did he pick people that weren't so great? Why didn't he pick the greatest people? And based on their schus, maybe that's how David will be captured. The answer is people were not any more really buying into this whole business that David was more of a malchus. Shaul has some type of ulterior motive, which is not connected to anything which is correct, and therefore all the great people all of a sudden started siding with David. They may not have done so openly, but they no longer wanted to be involved in this whole business of trying to capture and kill David. So the only people he could get, according to the opinion of the Radak, is Min HaKalim, the weaker ones, the nobodies.
So was this really a conscripted rather than a volunteer army, or what? And it was a conscripted army, kind of kept coming out. I mean, unless he thought they'd be rebellious against him in the
end. I don't know. I mean, the way that the Pasuk says, it just says that he got up, and with him, 3,000 people. It doesn't sound like he had to round them up. It almost sounds like they were more than willing to help out.
Maybe that's why he needed 3,000, because they were just lightweights.
Right, that's possible, right. So if they would be better soldiers or greater people, maybe less would have been enough. But that's the amount of people that he chose to kill David. Of course, we're going to see that he's not going to be successful here either. Pasuk Gimel. V'yichan Shaul b'givas hacha chila al pnei Shimon al hadara. So Shaul can't just in one day get from where he was to David, even though he would have loved to kill him right on that day. He said he had to encamp. V'yichan. He encamped in this area, which is al pnei Shimon, which is pretty close by to where David was. Al hadara. But David yoshev b'midbar. David, in the meantime, was in the midbar, in the desert, in the wilderness. Vayar, and he saw Kiba Shaul Acharav Hamidbar. He saw that Shaul was coming closer and closer to him toward the midbar, toward the desert, toward the wilderness. So David saw that it was just a moments, a day or two, a few hours, that as soon as they would pack up their bags from their encampment the next morning, it's probably going to be dead. Going to be killed. After all, 3,000 people, as great and powerful of a soldier that David was, how could he possibly compete against so many numbers, completely outnumbered? But Yishlach David Meraglim. So David sent out spies, right? Meraglim. Vayeda Kiva Shaul El Nachon. He wanted to know for certain that Shaul was definitely coming. And some people say, what do you mean that Shaul was definitely coming? Why on earth would he have been in the middle of this middle of nowhere with 3,000 armed soldiers? So some explain that he really almost couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that how is it possible that after I just had this whole dialogue with Shaul that he's really going to kill me? He probably has some other agenda, has some other mission. Can't be to kill me, because when we were in Ein Gedi, and I sliced up his garment, and I could have easily killed him, stabbed him really easily, and I spoke to him, and we made some type of a peace treaty, he wasn't going to harm me anymore. No, it's impossible. So therefore, he actually had to send Meraglim spies to actually see that this was actually the motive of why he was coming. And unfortunately, in fact, that was why he was coming, to harm David. Pasuk Hey. But Yaakov David, so David also, just like Shaul did, he got up. V'yabo el hamakom asher chana sham Shaul. So no, most people would say, all right, I see that there's a few thousand people that want to kill me. Probably the smartest thing to do is to jump on a Concorde and get out of there, right? Go in the opposite direction. And I'm just one person. I can hide. I know a lot of hiding spots. I've been doing it my whole life. There are 3,000 of them. They can't go as fast as I can. So I'm going to go in the opposite direction. No, that's not what Shaul. That's not what David did. V'yavo el hamakom asher chana sham Shaul. He actually went toward the danger. He went toward this camp of Shaul. V'yar David as hamakom asher shachav sham Shaul. And he saw the precise location, not only where this huge army was, but even the place where Shaul, the king himself, was sleeping. The Avner ben Ner Sar Savo, as well as Shaul's trusted general by the name of Avner. The Shaul Shoichev B'Magol, the Am Chonim Savivov. So how did Shull sleep? Did he sleep on the outskirts so you can just easily kill him? Just one nice little arrow from very far away? No. What he did was, as we often find in wagons, right? When kids play cowboys and Indians, they surround, make a circle. This way, everyone's protected within the circle. There's no vulnerable sides. There's no way you can sneak up behind me. So they make a circle. That's how they encamped, which is also how the Bnei Israel encamped. And in the center, the nucleus, was the most important, which was the king, Shaul. So therefore, even if you could somehow have the nerve to go into this army, the chances of you actually getting into the center is slim to none. And that's what the Bnei Israel did. There was three levels. The outside, when we encamped in the desert, was in the Machne Israel. Then inside that was the Levium, the Machne Levia. And then in the very core, the center, was Machne Shechina. That's where the Mishkan was. That was our most important part, that which needed, not that needed the most protection, but by surrounding it, it shows its chashivas, its value, and its importance to us. So too, that Shaul was in the middle of this circle, and therefore, probably no one was going to even come close to touching him. We look in the Radak also says this, with regard to the Magal, the circle, Makom HaMachne Yikra Magal, the reason why this encampment is called this word, that's how they would encamp in a circle. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Vayan David, so David answered, he spoke up, Vayomer El Achimelech Hachiti, and he said to Achimelech, the El Avishai ben Saruya, so he spoke to these two people, Achimelech and to Avishai, the son of Saruya, sounds probably that's a man's name, maybe not, we'll see in a second. Achi Yoav, he was the brother of Yoav. Lamor saying, Mi Yerid Iti, who wants to come with me? Page 172, El Shaul El Amachna. Let's go to Shaul to the camp, obviously to do some damage over there. Yomer Avishai, and Avishai said, Ani Eredi Mach, I will go with you. So if you look over here on page 171, in the English, who exactly was Saruria? Because the Pasuk says, Avishai, which is the person that was more than happy to join David in going into this camp, he said, yes, I'll join. So who was Avishai ben Saruria, the son of Saruria? So Saruria, it says over here, was actually not a man, but rather Saruria was David's sister. Her husband's name is not known, which is interesting. So he's called Avishai ben Saruria based on his mother's name, which is obviously because of his relationship to David. Then it concludes and says the two brothers were the commanders of David's forces, with Yoav the senior of the two. So you had two brothers, namely that of Yoav, because that's what it says, Achi Yoav. Avishai was Achi Yoav, the brother of Yoav. So Yoav was a commander for David, and Yoav's younger brother was Avishai. But Avishai was the cousin, right? The cousin of David. All right. He's related to... Yes?
Is this the first time we ever hear that he had a sister? We're always told about the brothers that he had. Okay.
Right.
Is this the first time we ever hear that he had a sister?
I think so.
Would it be that after her husband's name was not known? So therefore, she called Zeruiah. He's called Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, and that's his sister?
Saruri was David's sister.
So the two brothers, something's crossed over here, I can't see. The two brothers are commanders of David's forces. Yoav, the senior of the two. So who is this guy, this Chiti? He's not Jewish, Chiti? The Hittite?
Well, that's where he originated from. It does not... Achimelech was... if I recall, that was the name of the Kohen Gadol in Nov, among Nov Yerakohanim, which is interesting. He actually he died, so I'm not exactly sure if it can't really be the same person over here. But
it says Hafiti. Now, I don't know, is it used in any other way, Hafiti? And he's a Hittite?
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. But, No, it doesn't. Not that I've seen.
I don't know. For Yoav and Abishai are David's nephews.
Right, I was right. They're not cousins, they're nephews, right.
I never knew that there was a family on
that. It makes sense that the people that have the closest connection and the loyalty to David are blood relatives. So those were the people that showed the most allegiance to him, and when he asked who would be willing to join him, the one person that said yes was Avishai, which is the younger of the two brothers, as opposed to Yoav, who was the senior of the two. So it says here Avishai was the one that was willing to join forces with David. All right. Let's continue with the next pasuk Zion. But yeah, I think this is the first time his sister's name is mentioned. We don't mention much about the brothers either, but the sister, I don't think so. I don't think we mentioned her at all. V'yabo David v'avishai el ha'am. So since it sounds like he spoke to a couple of people, and the only person that was willing to basically do a kamikaze, a suicide, walking into this camp, with Avishai. So David and Avishai went El Ha'am to the camp of Lila. It was middle of the night. Yoshin b'magel. So Shaul, what do people do at night? Sleep. Now, but the problem is that what you should be doing is you should be taking turns, right? It's supposed to be you sleep, and then I'll be on guard, I'll be on watch to make sure my enemies don't come and attack us. So anyway, while Shaul was sleeping, he had a weapon, and it was stuck into the ground. He had his spear, Marosh Osav, right next to his head. And the idea behind it is that in the event that he would hear the slightest sound, he'd just jump up and grab his sword or spear, ready to go. But Avner ba'am shochmim sviv osav. This is obviously what's unusual. Not that the king was sleeping. Everyone needs to sleep. But Avner, who should really be there to protect the king at all costs, and the entire nation were also sleeping.
But Rabbi,
everyone was sleeping.
But if you look at, I was looking at that in the sentence before, it says shochet yoshet. It was lying down and sleeping.
Right.
He could be lying down and not sleeping.
Right.
It says shochet. So it doesn't say that word, Yoshin. And I'm wondering if that means that maybe they weren't sleeping. It says, so
away,
sleeping, circle. Right, and what about
the word Yoshe could be connected to Yoshe Bamago. Where is he sleeping? He's sleeping inside the circle. But I hear what you're saying. What's the difference between Sheikhmim
and Yoshe? And it says, and people
and
all around him. It may not necessarily be that they were sleeping. But I guess if he got past them, they were sleeping.
Yeah, they definitely, right. Which we're going to see was miraculous. Mm-hmm. That Kodesh Baruch Hu caused them all at the same time to be in the deepest slumber for David and Avishai just to walk into the middle of the camp. And as we're going to see, walk all the way up straight into the middle of this encampment to the king to show himself. That's what we're going to see in a few psukim. Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Avishai El David. So Avishai, who was probably very very angry at someone trying to harm his dear relative, David, he said, Sigar Elokim Hayom, Esayiv Chabiyadecha. The Siddur Siyam translates this word as Indian, Masira. Hashem has given over today your enemies into your hands. Because it's impossible that they're all sleeping so soundly, doesn't make any sense. The fact that they're all sound asleep, Hashem must have caused this to happen somehow. Right? That they should all be in a deep, deep slumber. So this should be a sign to you, David. V'yata now. Akenu na b'chanis please let, if you don't want to do it, let me kill him with the spear. V'aretz pam achas. I'll stick into the ground one time. V'l eshnalo. I know that you're very sensitive that he is a king, so you don't want me to kill him 1,000 times, kill him, stab him a bunch of times. Fine, I'll do it once, and it'll be all over. And as the Radakum here says, it says, B'chanis v'aretz, akenu b'chanis mak gadol. I'm going to hit him with the spear so hard while he's sleeping. Ad she'etke ha'chanis ba'aretz ha'chtav. Until that the actual spear is stuck into the ground underneath him. It's going to go right through his body, and it'll get stuck right into the ground. You see the next redak, which is underlined. It says, V'lesh shalo. I will not need to do it again. Lo yetzarech l'shanos lo pam acheres, ki ba'oso makam yisen. The one hit, that one shot, that's going to kill him right away. So he's not even going to feel it. So if you're concerned about causing him pain, because he's a great man, he is a king, I'll kill him, and it'll be done in a second. Let me just take care of it. You don't even have to do it. You don't want to do it? I'll do it. I have no problem. I would love to kill him. Pasuk test. So, David, after all being chased and running around, his whole life is turned upside down. Most people would say, all right, go for it. Yeah, please, be my guest. That's not what David says. But Yomer David el Avishai, al tashchisehu. Do not kill him. Do not touch him. Do not cause any pain to him. Kimi sholach yado b'mashiach Hashem b'nika. Because, asking in a rhetorical manner, who could possibly send out their hand against the anointed one, namely Shaul the king, v'nika, and come out clean. It says in the Sudas David, what does it mean, v'nika, clean? V'yanakim onesh bitmiya. As a question, as a rhetorical question. Who can possibly come out clean from sin? Certainly the fact that you would have done this, you would end up getting punished for your actions. We mentioned before that, which is really going to be clearly stated in the next pasuk Yud, that if he was supposed to die, Hashem will have him die. Hashem has many ways, many agents in having someone die. So therefore the fact that he deserves to die, you shouldn't be the one that does it. Let Hashem take care of it. And the fact that you're the one that does it, you will be held responsible. You will be punished for these actions. The question is, before we see Pasuk Yud, we already had this conversation. David could have killed him in the cave. He didn't. And he said the reason why is because if you deserve to die, you'll die. So why would we say, why would Avishai have to even pose the question here? Why would you think it's any different? After all, it's the same guy. David didn't want to kill him before. It's the same person, Shaul. Didn't want to kill the king. So why would Avishai think that maybe now it's okay? You can possibly answer like this. Obviously, probably a few answers to this question. Is that when it came to the cave and he rended, he cut the garment, he thought, you know, maybe this is a way for us to be able to live at peace with one another. I'm going to give him this one chance. So, what happened? I gave him this one chance, and now he's trying to kill me again. So Avishai says, you see that there's no point in trying to be nice to this person. You were nice already, and it backfired. So now you have the opportunity again. How often do you have two chances? More, once in a lifetime. Now you have two times to be able to do this. So now don't pass this up. This may be your last opportunity to kill him before he kills you. He's clearly not a person who shows any form of compassion. So, the other question is that David seemed to imply that anyone that would harm another, this king, would be punished. But how does he know that that's the case? How does he know? Has he seen that in the past to know that that is the case? And when it came to the situation where he even rended his garment when Shaul was in the cave, the pasuk immediately afterwards says, "Beyach lev David oso," that David's heart was hit, which he felt bad. He felt that there was something wrong that he had done, and it wasn't just that it came about through his own feelings. but almost as a form of a punishment that he should not have even torn the garments of the king. And therefore, he derived from this, through the means of a Kal Vachomer, logically, if I would kill such a king, then all the more so I would be punished for my actions. And therefore, he says to his trusted soldier, Avishai, do not lay a finger on him, or else you will not come out clean either. You'll be punished. Pasuk Yud. But Yomer David, Chai Hashem, as Hashem lives, I swear, it's a shvuah, ki im Hashem yigafenu. As I mentioned before, you do not need to cause him any pain, because Hashem will be the one that will punish him. He will be the one that will cause Shaul to die. O Yomo Yabo Vames, maybe in a day or so, it will come about that he will die, because Hashem will cause some type of plague, some tragedy to befall upon him. Oba milchama yered v'nitzba. Or maybe he will fall during battle v'nitzba. Mitzvah Sion says in Kelion, he'll be destroyed. He'll be wiped out. He'll lose in battle. Which we'll see how he dies, which will be basically that. V'nitzba, he'll die. So why would we need to be the ones to have to kill him, when Hashem could do it himself? So how does he know that? How does he know that Hashem could do such a thing? He actually learned this from his wife, Abigail. Because Abigail told David, while he was running after Nabal, which at the time was her husband, don't kill my husband, because if he deserves to die, Hashem will take care of it. What happened to Nabal? Almost immediately afterwards, he got sick, and after a period of 10 days, he died. So therefore, David saw through the past that Hashem is the one that will take care of someone that deserves to be punished, not you.
So Rabbi, I think we talked about this once before, but I'm still confused with it, the concept of Rode, if somebody's coming to kill you.
Yeah.
Do you kill him or do you wait for God to? Or do you think that God is going to make it happen somewhere with you as this Shalia, as a Muslim?
When it comes to a Rode, you have the right to kill that person. If someone's trying to kill you, you have the right to kill them. Right? You don't have to say, well, you know, let's see what happens. You have to do what you have to do to preserve your life. With that said, there are many different laws. One of them, for example, is what happens if you see this guy coming, right, with a knife, and he's going to stab you, and you have a gun. Now, you can shoot the guy square in the head, which would kill you, or you can shoot him in the leg. And once you shoot him in the leg, he's not going to run after anymore. You can run away. So the question is that when it comes to that, you're not really supposed to kill that person. You're supposed to protect him, because what you're doing, because this person is about to do an aver. That's what it is. He's doing, about to commit a crime, right? So by you shooting him, that's a way to prevent him from committing this crime, right? So he'll be stuck there. He won't be able to kill you anymore. So then you don't really have the right to murder. So the question is, when Shaul was chasing after David in the cave, instead of killing him, right, he cut his garment, which was hopefully a way to prevent him from becoming a rode, pursuing David anymore. That's what he was hoping would happen. So some say that's why it's allowed. Furthermore, when it comes to the laws of a rode, this is actually discussed in great, great length, this question, about who is allowed to kill. You're being chased by someone, and a third party watches this unfold, right? And you're on top of a building, and you're a sniper. You can shoot the guy, right? You have a from far away. Are you allowed to? Are you supposed to intervene? Are you supposed to get involved? And if you are allowed to get involved, to what extent are you allowed to get involved? You're allowed to kill the person? You're supposed to injure the person? So some explain that when Avishai said this to David, David said, listen, the king isn't really, no offense, he doesn't really care about you so much. And he'd probably end up killing you too because you're hanging out with me. But the truth is, if we would go separate ways and he was running after us, they wouldn't go after you, they'd go after me, right? Because Shaul wants David to die. So David, some interpret, is saying to Avishai, if I want to kill him, I have the right to kill him. But you, You have no right to do it. If you do it, you will be punished. Because when it comes to a road rage, it's only the person that's being pursued and not the person, not a third party. The third party does not have the same rights to kill another person. Obviously, that doesn't mean you have to sit there and let someone get killed. You have to do something to step up. But the question is, to what extent? So that's how some people explain the idea of a rodef here as well. Okay. We look in the Radak. Actually, first, let's look at Rashi as well, and Pasuk Yud. Chai Hashem. So who exactly was David swearing to over here? So Yeshomim, some say, Le'yitzro Nishva. Fascinating. That when he was saying this, he was speaking to himself. Because David overheard Avishai, who wants to kill Shaul. Now Avishai can't stand Shaul, he wants to kill him. The truth is, David doesn't love him much either. You know, David probably would want him to die as well. And therefore, when he said Chai Hashem, and he swore, he said it to himself because he wanted to make sure that he would not kill Shaul either. He was concerned because of this whole problem of being chased and pursued that maybe he'd end up killing.
So his
own Yetzirah, David's Yetzirah. He's made a shvuah to his Yetzirah so that he should not allow himself to kill Shaul. That's how some explain it. That's why he said, in Pasuk Yud, Chai Hashem, right? Let Hashem do it. So he was speaking to himself. And it's really, there's going to be a second answer, but to me I like that answer more because that's, he had that exact same problem with Naval, just in the last parak. He himself had a sword and he was ready to kill Naval. So he has this burning within him to kill. If someone did something that deserves to be killed, he's going to kill him. So by Naval, he was able to be stopped because Abigail protected him. So over here, Abigail is not around. It's just him and Avishai in the middle of this camp. Sitting in the middle of this camp with everyone sleeping, he had this opportunity, so he had to make the shua that he wouldn't do it. The Yeshom and Rashi says that some say, Avishai Nishva. He wasn't speaking to himself, but he was speaking to Avishai, this other person that was with him. And this very fascinating words of this Rashi, very strange words. Im Taharo Gesat Sadik Ani Arav Damcha B'demo. Says that if you kill this person, then your blood is going to be mixed up with his, which means you're also going to die. You're also going to be punished. But it's interesting the language that Sadik, he calls Shaul Im Taharo Gesat Sadik. He calls the king, the guy who wants to kill me, oh, he's a tzaddik. And he's not just saying it as a joke, right, in a cynical manner. He really considers Shaul a tzaddik. What does he mean he's a tzaddik? He's a murderer. He's a tzaddik, which means he doesn't deserve to be killed. He doesn't deserve to be murdered. Or he purposely says the word tzaddik to instill upon Avishai this idea that you definitely cannot kill him. Do not think that he is a Rasha. You have no right to kill him. But if you do kill him, your blood will be mixed with his, which means that you will also be punished for your actions. Says the Radak over here in Pasuk Yud, we have a few of them. Chai Hashem, Hashvua Shol Yomus Al Yodei Ki Hashem Yigafenu. As we mentioned before, Chai Hashem is a Shvua. He's swearing that I will not be the one that will kill, but rather Hashem will cause this plague. We jump down a few lines. The Radak says, Ki Im Hashem Yigafenu, Bechoili, with some type of illness, some sickness, terem zmano, within a certain span of time, and then the Radak helps us out, and says, kimo v'yigov Hashem es Naval. Just what we saw toward the end of the last parak, that Naval was given an affliction by God himself. Kolomar, that is to say, al yaday Hashem, you must blow al yaday. God will be the one that will cause him to die, not ourselves. So Avishai, there's no need for you to stick the spear into Shaul. When it comes down to it, Shaul will deserve to die, and not a moment before, but let Hashem be the one that does it. Radak then continues a few lines after that, and says, O Yom Yama, a day, some time later, he'll get sick and die. Kolomar, O Zmano, Shikotsu be'ez aliyadato karavu. It's going to come close this very set time that was already predestined, the time in which he was going to die. It's karov. It's close. V'ze omer David melibo. This is what David said within himself, in his heart. Ki omer belibo, because he felt, and he said to himself, kivan shemasbo Hashem yisparach miyos melech. Since Hashem obviously considers him no longer worthy to be the king, the tziva lemishcheni, and he also commanded that I should be anointed to be the next king. Obviously, I'm not going to live forever either. So Hashem says that I, David, am going to be the next king. L'yisken shiyarech hazman. It's going to be very improbable that he's going to be living a whole much longer. Well, after it's possible, ki mipi Shmuel omer Shemus Bekarv. It's possible that Shmuel, even though he died, maybe he told him a specific time in which Shaul was going to die, and therefore he would be able to anticipate him becoming the king thereafter. So therefore, whichever way the Radak interprets it, the idea is that David knew that Shaul was not going to be walking around so much longer, so why should we be the ones to have him killed? All right. So with that said, we're now going to see next week, rather, what exactly he does. Actually, let's just see one more pasuk, so we'll get a feel of what happens. Pasuk get off, and we'll stop. Chalilali mehashem, mishloach yadi b'mashiach Hashem. God forbid, right? It's a terrible. It would be a terrible thing for me to stretch forth my hand against the king, the Mashiach Hashem. So what am I going to do? Unlike what I did in the cave, which I ripped his garment, which I guess I could have done as well, but he was not supposed to do that because we said that that was a wrong thing for him to do, and he was actually going to be punished for that. That his old age garments will no longer give him warmth because he showed lack of respect for garments. The Atah now, Kachno as Hachanis, Ashim Rosh Hashav, go ahead and take his spear from which is in front of him, right in front of his head. That's Sapachas Hamayim Venelcha Lanu. And also take this water, this jug of water, and we're going to go. And what's the idea behind this? Just like when he looked at the garment, so too when he awakes and he sees, hey, where's my spear? Where's my water? Must be the David was right in front of me, and again he didn't kill me. Maybe at this point Shaul will show some compassion and not kill me, but unfortunately we'll see that he may not necessarily feel that way again. I'll stop.